All right, so we've done a fair amount of the detailed work on sadism. This is part six, where I'm going to talk about why it arose, why the wiring is there, and how it goes wrong. Sadism can only be thought of as a dysfunction if the circumstances through which it arose no longer apply. Does it make sense? Like, something's dysfunctional. I mean, I'm not talking moral here. I'm just talking dysfunctional. So something is dysfunctional only if the circumstances that cause it to arise no longer apply, right? So if you are subservient to those in authority as a child, that can have positive adaptive benefits. It's sort of why it developed. However, subservience to authority alone when you are an adult is probably adaptive, right? So being reliant upon one person, say, for your survival is appropriate as a baby, but then believing that only one person can ever make you happy over the course of your life can make you kind of obsessive as an adult. The one-itis thing, only she can blah, 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 right? So a tribalism is necessary for survival in the primitive eras of our species. A tribalism has a significant problems now, because tribalism is largely abstract and conceptual and therefore very open to manipulation. So if you live in a tribe of 60 or 70 or 80 other people, those are sort of very real ties. You can evaluate everyone, and the sense of tribalism is empirical. However, if your tribe is like a whole country or a continent or a giant religion or something, then you don't know everyone, and your immediate empirical tribalism gets moved to an abstraction that's very easy to manipulate, and therefore your tribalism is very easy to manipulate, and therefore you're very easy to manipulate. The common good, right? The common good, if you're in a tribe of 70 people, the common good is fairly easy to understand, and you can evaluate it. However, the common good for an entire country, well, first of all, doesn't exist because it's not something you can evaluate. Secondly, it's easy to manipulate. But because it ties into your tribal feelings of wanting to sacrifice for the larger good, but you can't evaluate it because it's not a tribe that's empirical. It's a conceptual thing, and concepts are easy to manipulate. And people whose direct empiricism has been translated into conceptual abstraction are very easy to manipulate and control, right? Again, in a tribe of 70 people, you can directly evaluate the common good because you're part of it and you're involved in it, and it's evident to you, and you have experience of everyone, and you can have a say. Whereas when a political leader of 300 million people country tells you about the common good, it's just manipulation. It's nothing you can directly experience or have an effect on or evaluate or anything like that. So if somebody suggests sacrifice to you in a smaller tribal situation, you may very well do it. But if somebody suggests sacrifice to you for a large conceptual thing or conceptual idea like a nation state, then it's just about exploiting you. So tribalism is good in terms of evolution, when you can directly anticipate experience and it's empirical right in front of you, and you have knowledge and you have the authority of being part of a small group. So tribalism has evolutionary advantages for you as an individual when we're evolving, but when you get to the nation state or to other sort of large conceptual collectivist abstractions, it's just